Let me first. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So let's do the Antya Leela, Chapter 2, The Chastisement of Junya Haridas. Antya Leela. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harayanam Harayanam Harayanamaiva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Antya Leela, Chapter 4. Sanatan Goswami visits the Lord at Jagannath Puri. The fourth chapter is summarized by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. Srila Sanatan Goswami came alone from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. Because of bathing in bad water and not getting enough food every day while traveling on the path to Jharkhand forest, he developed a disease that made his body itch. Suffering greatly from this itching, he resolved that in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would throw himself under the wheel of Jagannath's car and in this way commit suicide. When Sanatan Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, he stayed under the care of Haridas Thakur for some time, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see him. The Lord informed Sanatan Goswami about the death of his younger brother, Anupama, who had great faith in the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatan Goswami, "Your decision to commit suicide is the result of the mode of ignorance. One cannot get love of God simply by committing suicide. You have already dedicated your life and body to my service. Therefore, your body does not belong to you, nor do you have any right to commit suicide. I have to execute many devotional services through your body. I want you to preach the cult of devotional service and go to Vrindavan to excavate the lost holy places." After having thus spoken, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami had many talks about this subject. One day, Sanatan Goswami was summoned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wanted him to come to Yameshwara Thopa. Sanatan Goswami reached the Lord through the path along the beach by the sea. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan Goswami which way he had come, Sanatan replied, "Many servitors of Lord Jagannath come and go on the path by the Singhadwar gate of the Jagannath temple. Therefore, I did not go by that path, but instead went by the beach." Sanatan Goswami did not realize that there were burning blisters on his feet because of the heat of the sand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased to hear about Sanatan Goswami's great respect for the temple of Lord Sri Jagannath. Because his disease produced wet sores on his body, Sanatan Goswami used to avoid embracing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but nevertheless, the Lord would embrace him by force. This made Sanatan Goswami very unhappy, and therefore he consulted Jagadananda Pandit about what he should do. Jagadananda advised him to return to Vrindavan after the car festival of Jagannath. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this instruction, he chastised Jagadananda Pandit and reminded him that Sanatan Goswami was senior to him and also more learned. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sanatan Goswami that because Sanatan was a pure devotee, the Lord was never inconvenienced by his bodily condition. Because the Lord was a sannyasi, he did not consider one body better than another. The Lord also informed him that he was maintaining Sanatan and the other devotees just like a father. Therefore, the moisture oozing from Sanatan's itching skin did not affect the Lord at all. After speaking with Sanatan Goswami in this way, the Lord again embraced him. And after this embrace, Sanatan Goswami became free from the disease. The Lord ordered Sanatan Goswami to stay with him for that year, and the next year, after seeing the Rath Yatra festival, he left Purushottam Kshetra and returned to Vrindavan. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rupa Goswami also returned to Bengal, where he remained for 1 year. Whatever money he owned, he distributed among his relatives, the Brahmins, and the temples. In this way, he completely retired and returned to Vrindavan to meet Sanatan Goswami. After narrating these incidents, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given a list of the main books of Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. Let's chant this verse together. Vrindavanat punak praptang Sri Gaura Sri Sanatanam Deha Patad Avan Snehat Shuddhang Chakre Parikshaya. When Sanatan Goswami returned from Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affectionately saved him from his determination to commit suicide. Then, after testing him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified his body. Together, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Srila Rupa Goswami returned from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, Sanatan Goswami went from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami walked alone on the path through the Jharikhand forest in central India. Sometimes he fasted and sometimes he would eat. Because of bad water in the Jharikhand forest and because of fasting, Sanatan Goswami contracted a disease that made his body itch. Thus he was inflicted with itching sores which fluid oozed. In disappointment, Sanatan Goswami considered, I am of a low caste, and my body is useless for devotional service. When I go to Jagannath Puri, I shall not be able to see Lord Jagannath, nor shall I always be able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have heard that the residential quarters of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are near the temple of Jagannath, but I shall not have the power to go near the temple. The servants of Lord Jagannath generally move about tending to their duties, but if they touch me, I shall be an offender. Therefore, if I sacrifice this body in a good place, my unhappiness will be mitigated, and I shall again attain an exalted destination. During the Rath Yatra festival, when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple, I shall give up this body under the wheel of his car. After seeing Lord Jagannath, I shall give up my body under the wheel of the car in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This will be the highest benediction of my life. Having made this resolution, Sanatana Goswami went to Nilachala, where he asked directions from people and approached the residence of Haridas Thakur. He offered his respects to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, who knew him and thus embraced him. Sanatana Goswami was very eager to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Haridas Thakur said, "Oh, the Lord is coming here very soon." At that very moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after visiting the temple of Jagannath to see the offering of Upalabhog, or morning refreshments, he came with his other devotees to see Haridas Thakur. Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami immediately fell flat like rods to offer obeisances. The Lord then lifted Haridas and embraced him. Haridas said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Here is Sanatana Goswami offering his obeisances." Seeing Sanatana Goswami, the Lord was greatly surprised. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came forward to embrace him, Sanatana backed away and spoke as follows, "My Lord, please do not touch me. I fall at your lotus feet. I am the lowest of men, having been born of a low caste. Besides that, I have infections on my body." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, embraced Sanatana Goswami by force. Thus the moisture oozing from the itching shores touched the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord introduced all the devotees to Sanatana Goswami, who offered his respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all. The Lord and his devotees sat on a raised platform, and below that sat Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Sanatana about news of his well-being. Sanatana replied, "Everything is auspicious, because I have seen your lotus feet." When the Lord asked about all the Vaishnavas at Mathura, Sanatana Goswami informed him of their good health and fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sanatana Goswami, "Srila Rupa Goswami was here for 10 months. He left for Bengal just 10 days ago. Your brother Anupama..." Yes. Hmm? Yes.
Just 10 days ago.
Yes. So because in the first chapter, which we already studied, Rupa Goswami, and there's a verse he writes, and it's in the roof, and Lord Chaitanya finds it, and he's amazed at how Rupa Goswami could understand his mind, and then...
It was in Jagannath Puri.
And then all the devotees come, and then Ramananda Roy is asking him, "Tell me about your two plays, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava." And so it goes into detail about this verse. We went through that chapter. Okay? Shall we continue? Okay. "Your brother Anupama is now dead. He was a very good devotee who had firm conviction in Raghunath, Lord Ramchandra." Sanatana Goswami said, "I was born in a low family, for my family commits all kinds of irreligious acts that violate the scriptural injunctions. My Lord, without hatred for my family, you have accepted me as your servant. Only by your mercy is there good fortune in my family. From the very beginning of his childhood, my younger brother Anupama was a great devotee of Raghunath, Lord Ramchandra, and he worshipped him with great determination. He always chanted the holy name of Raghunath and meditated upon him. He continuously heard about the activities of the Lord from the Ramayan and chanted about them. Rupa and I are his elder brothers. He stayed with us continuously. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam and talks about Lord Krishna with us, and both of us examined him. Dear Vallabha, we said, please hear from us. Lord Krishna is supremely attractive. His beauty, sweetness, and pastimes of love are without limit. Engage yourself in devotional service to Krishna with the two of us. We three brothers shall stay together and enjoy discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. In this way, we spoke to him again and again. And because of this persuasion and his respect for us, his mind turned somewhat toward our instructions. Vallabha replied, my dear brothers, how can I disobey your orders? Initiate me into the Krishna mantra so that I may perform devotional service to Lord Krishna. After saying this at night, he began to think, how shall I give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath? He stayed up all night and cried. In the morning, he came to us and submitted the following plea. I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. I cannot take it away. That would be too painful for me. The two of you, please be merciful to me and order me in such a way that life after life I may serve the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. It is impossible for me to give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. It is impossible for me to give up the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. When I even think of giving them up, my heart breaks. Upon hearing this, we each embraced him and encouraged him by saying, you are a great saintly devotee, for your determination in devotional service is fixed. In this way, we praised him. My dear Lord, the family upon which you bestow even a little mercy is always fortunate, for such mercy makes all miseries disappear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there was a similar incident concerning Murari Gupta. Formerly, I examined him, and his determination was similar. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord, and glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. If by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. It is very good that you have arrived here. Now, stay in this room with Haridas Thakur. Both of you are expert in understanding the mellows of Lord Krishna's devotional service. Therefore, you should both continue relishing the taste for such activities and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Having said this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and left, and through Govinda, he sent prasadam for them to eat. In this way, Sanatana Goswami stayed under the care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would see the wheel on the pinnacle of the Jagannath Temple and offer respectful obeisances. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go there to meet these two stalwart devotees and discuss topics of Krishna with them for some time. The offerings of prasadam in the temple of Lord Jagannath were of the highest quality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bring this prasadam and deliver it to the two devotees. One day, when the Lord came to meet them, he suddenly began speaking to Sanatan Goswami. My dear Sanatan, he said, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would certainly give up millions of bodies without a moment's hesitation. You should know that one cannot attain Krishna simply by giving up the body. Krishna is attainable by devotional service. There is no other means for attaining him. Acts such as suicide are influenced by the mode of ignorance. And in ignorance and passion, one cannot understand who Krishna is. Unless one discharges devotional service, one cannot awaken one's dormant love for Krishna. And there is no means for attaining him other than the awakening of that dormant love. Now he quotes a verse, and this is probably from, yes, it's from the Uddhava Gita. If you'd like to chant along with me, Nasadayati mang yogo, nasankyam dharma Uddhava, nasvadhyayas tapastyago, yata bhaktir mamorjita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system for controlling the senses, nor through impersonal monism or an analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. Measures like suicide are causes of sin. A devotee never achieves shelter at Krishna's lotus feet by such actions. Because of feelings of separation from Krishna, an exalted devotee sometimes wants to give up his life. By such ecstatic love, however, one attains the audience of Krishna, and at that time, he cannot give up his body. One who is deeply in love with Krishna cannot tolerate separation from the Lord. Therefore, such a devotee always desires his own death. And here is another verse from the 10th canto. If we had to chant along with me, Yasyang Gripankaja Rajasnapanang Mahanto Vachan Yuma Patir Ivat Matamo Pagyatyai Yaryam Bujaksha Nalabeya Bhavat Prasadang Jayam Masun Vata Krishan Chatajan Mabisyat. O Lotus Eyed One, great personalities like Lord Shiva desire to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet to drive away ignorance. If I do not get the mercy of your lordship, I shall observe vows to reduce the duration of my life, and thus I shall give up bodies for hundreds of births, if it is possible to get your mercy in that way. Purport. This verse was spoken by Rukmini Devi in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rukmini Devi, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, had heard about Krishna's transcendental attributes, and thus she desired to get Krishna as her husband. Unfortunately, her elder brother Rukmi was envious of Krishna and therefore wanted her to be offered to Shishupal. When Rukmini became aware of this, she was greatly aggrieved. Thus, she wrote Krishna a confidential letter, which was presented and read to him by a Brahmana messenger. This verse appeared in that letter. And let's do another of these Sanskrit verses. Sinchanga nastvadadamrita purakena hasavaloka kalagita jahritscha yagnim no ched vayang virha jagnyapayukta deha jnana yama padayo padavim sakete. O my dear Krishna, by your smiling glances and melodious talk, you have awakened the fire of lusty desires in our hearts. Now you should extinguish that fire with a stream of nectar from your lips by kissing us. Kindly do this. Otherwise, dear friend, the fire within our hearts will burn all our bodies to ashes because of separation from you. Thus, by meditation, we shall claim shelter at your lotus feet. This verse was spoken by the gopis when they were attracted by the vibration of Krishna's flute in the moonlight of autumn. All of them, being maddened, came to Krishna, but to increase their ecstatic love, Krishna gave them moral instructions to return home. The gopis did not care for these instructions. They wanted to be kissed by Krishna, for they had come there with lusty desires to dance with him. Yes. So, externally, it looks like lusty desires. Looks that way, externally. But in the case of the gopis and Krishna, which Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, and he spends a good time explaining, there can be no question of lust when you're dealing with Krishna. It looks like that. But gopis and Krishna are on the complete transcendental platform. And this is a point that Krishnadas Kaviraj makes. He spends a good deal in the Adi 4. Because if that's not understood, then somebody's going to read the Rasa Leela and think, hey, if Krishna can dance with others' wives, and that's okay, what about me? And Prabhupada in Krishna book also discusses this point in detail. Because in terms of the way it's playing out, that's how you can describe it. Because externally, just looking at it, that's the word to describe. Because there was kissing. One of the verses we did, there is kissing. There is embracing. So, in describing the events, you use that word. So, the lust is transcendental lust. Just like, okay? So, we read descriptions of Krishna killing demons. The first demon was a woman. So, somebody may say, killing, this is bad. Krishna should be punished. He killed a woman. Now, externally, it's killing. But Krishna's killing or Krishna's kissing, the same. This is... Yes, but he definitely killed her. Okay? So, that's why this question of yours is very significant. That's why Krishna Leela appears in 10th canto. Because 9 cantos, Shukadev and Vyasadev are brainwashing us. Don't think like that. Don't think like that. In canto after canto, Shukadev and Vyasadev are reformatting our hard drive of our brain. So that by the time we get to 10th canto, there's no more confusion. And this kind of question is not going to be a big problem. And in the 10th canto, Maharaj Parikshit brings up your question. He brings it up at the end of the Rasa dance. After the 5 chapters, this question comes up. And Shukadev spends several verses answering. Because that's Maharaj Parikshit's question. The lusty affairs of Krishna and the gopis, people are going to have problem with this. So Shukadeva Goswami said, I've already answered this, Parikshit. You forgot about the deliverance of Shishupal? And this answer, he says, basically this question has already been answered, but I'm going to answer it. I spoke about this very same thing last week in Santiago. I think I spoke on it on Saturday. The description is there. Not that I'm saying. The description is there. Krishna is already in the heart of the gopis. So when Krishna left the rasa dance and came back, so when Krishna came back, he was sitting next to each gopi, and each gopi was feeling that she's alone with Krishna. So the point made, especially by Prabhupada, if Krishna is already in the heart, now if he comes outside, what's the problem? Besides that, one of the answers Shukadev gives to Maharaj Parikshit, same question as you, all the husbands were seeing their wives were right there. Pretty cool. Krishna can do that. Every husband, the wife was right there. The spirit soul, the pure devotee, was with Krishna. Can't blame Krishna for anything. The wife was right there. That's why you can't imitate the rasa dance. Who can do like that? No. None of these bogey yogis who try to imitate now rasa dance, they can only imitate. They can't do what Krishna did. Each husband, the wife was right there in material form. The spiritual form, it's either in Bhagavatam or Krishna book by Prabhupada. I'm pretty sure it's in Bhagavatam as well. Does that answer your question? Here's the famous verse, all right? The famous verses, either this is Narada or Shukadev. I'd have to look back. So this is either Narada or Shukadev. Tasmad varan ubandena nirvairena vayenava snehat kamena va yunjat katanchin nikshate prituk. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service. So enmity would be a demon like Kamsa. Devotional service. Okay. By fear, by affection.
Sorry, enmity is by Shishupal.
Yeah. Fear by Kamsa. Very good. By affection or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates the mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. And then the following verse, I'm pretty sure he gives the example. So this is Narada. This is Narada speaking. By devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity toward him. That is my opinion. All right, but that. Okay, yeah, Narada is speaking to Yudhishthir. Here's another famous verse, also by Narada, in the same section. Kamad veshad bhayat snehad yata bhakyeshvare mana aveshyatad aghang hitva bahavastad gitim gata. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. So basically, he just repeated what he said a few verses ago. All right. My dear King Yudhishthir, the gopis, by their lusty desires, Kamsa, by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their family relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, Narada, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. So, yes, just to go back. So the gopis were all young girls. The gopis did not see Krishna as God. See? That's why the word lust is used. The gopis are not viewing Krishna as God. He's just their village boy. They worshipped Goddess Katyayini for 1 month, right? They all wanted Krishna as their husband. Krishna said that day that he stole all the clothes, he said, in a future night, I will satisfy your desire. So for the gopis, there's no question of religion and God. No. It's just they, well, yes, but from the material aspect, it's lust. When a girl wants a boy, right? It's lust. Prabhupada is saying, love for intoxication, love for this, love. No, it's all lust. Love means Radha Krishna. That's love. Because there's never any break. We define love as, yes, devotional service. Yes. Or, another way to answer the question, Rupa Goswami says, six symptoms of love exchanged by one devotee. Inquiring, revealing the mind, offering gifts, offering prasad, accepting gifts, accepting prasad. Just like you invited me to your home. Rupal asked me yesterday, what do I want to eat? That's love. That's love. So in relationship to Krishna, is where we have love. Outside of a relationship with Krishna, it's lust. To answer your question, love means to render service. So if the woman is saying that I don't love my husband, I love Krishna, that's okay. But she still has to render service. In other words, let's say the mother says, I don't love my children, I only love Krishna. No, no, no. You have to love that child. You have to take care of that child. You have to serve that child. Not that, oh, this child is Maya. I just want to do the deity worship. Meanwhile, the child is starving. That's sinful. And what did Krishna tell the gopis on the night of the Rasa dance? Take care of your husband, take care of the children. So I'd have to know more. Part of it is right, that they should not be attached to the sense gratification. Yes, they should be attached to Krishna, but they have to do their service, they have to serve their husband, and the husband could say the same thing. I'm just going to take sannyas now. I left you with 8 children. Goodbye. I'm taking sannyas. No. Uh-uh. They have to do their prescribed duty, like Krishna told Arjuna. Yes. That was Arjuna's thing. Hey, I want to take sannyas now. Goodbye. Krishna said, no. You have to do your duty. You have to fight and think of me. So these wives have to love their husbands by serving. If they're saying no, they don't have any romance, that's fine. But it can't be one of neglect. Because that was a problem. You can ask Varuni about this. That was a problem in early days of ISKCON. They had a false understanding of renunciation. And so they would do like that, some cases. They would have the baby, stick it in a room, because now I want to go do deity worship. And that's why Prabhupada wrote one person who Varuni knows very well. Prabhupada said, you already have 3 deities, take care of them. Namely, her children. You follow? Yeah, so you got to be very... In other words, one-line phrases, yeah, what's the... Explain what you mean by that. Okay? Okay. Good enough?
Yeah. Now, if you are taking care of
Krishna already answered that. First take care of the husband and take care of the children. That's your duty. It's already answered by Krishna. It's right there, the night of the Rasa dance. The supreme religious duty for a woman. Obey the husband, take care of the children. It's already answered. Ready answer.
Thank you for answering very nicely.
Of course. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, give up your nonsensical desires, for they are unfavorable for getting shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Engage yourself in chanting and hearing. Then you will soon achieve the shelter of Krishna without a doubt. A person born in a low family is not unfit for discharging devotional service to Lord Krishna, nor is one fit for devotional service simply because he is born in an aristocratic family of brahmanas. Anyone who takes to devotional service is exalted, whereas a non-devotee is always condemned and abominable. Therefore, in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord, there is no consideration of the status of one's family. For instance, Krishna ate at Vidura's house. Lord Ramachandra and Shabari, right? When Krishna went to Mathila, he went simultaneously to the home of the king, Bahulashva, and he simultaneously went to the home of Shrutadev, the Brahmin. All right, let's continue. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always favorable to the humble and meek, but aristocrats, learned scholars, and the wealthy are always proud of their positions. Here is a verse. Viprad vishad guna yutad aravinda nabha padaravinda vimukachva pachang varishtam manye tad arpita mano vachanen hitartha pranam punati sakulam natu bhuri mana. One may be born in a Brahmin family and have all 12 brahminical qualities. But if in spite of being thus qualified, he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala, who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmin family or to have brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must be a pure devotee of the Lord. Thus, if a svapacha or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself, but his entire family as well. Whereas a brahmana, who is not a devotee, but simply has brahminical qualifications, cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his family. So this verse was spoken by Prahlad when he was praying to Lord Nrisinga after Lord Nrisinga killed Hiranyakashipu. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best, for these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. Purport. The 9 kinds of devotional service are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. These 9 are hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, offering service to Krishna's lotus feet, offering worship in the temple, offering prayers, working as a servant, making friendship with Krishna, and unreservedly surrendering to Krishna. These 9 processes of devotional service can grant one Krishna and ecstatic love for him. In the beginning, one has to discharge devotional service according to regulative principles. But gradually, as devotional service becomes one life and soul, one achieves the most exalted position of ecstatic love for Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna is the goal of life. One need not have taken birth in an aristocratic Brahmin family to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. nor is a person born in a low family unfit for achieving Krishna's lotus feet. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Devahuti says to Kapila Dev, Aho bata swapachoto gariyan, yaj jivagre vartate nama tubhyam, te pustapaste juhuvu sasnur arya, brahman anuchur nama grananti yete. O my Lord, even a person born in a low family of dog eaters is glorious if he always chants the holy name of the Lord. Such a person has already performed all types of austerities, penances, and Vedic sacrifices, has already bathed in the sacred rivers, and has also studied all the Vedic literature. Thus he has become an exalted personality. Similarly, Kunti Devi says to Lord Krishna, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivarhatya Vidatumvai Twam Akinchana Gocharam. A person who is proud of his birth, opulence, knowledge, and beauty cannot achieve your lotus feet. You are available only to the meek and humble, not to the proud. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of God. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu gives the following directions in his Bhakti Sandarbha. Iyang cha kirtanakya bhaktir bhagavato dravya jati guna kriyabhir dina janaika vishayapara karuna mayiti shuti puranadi vishruti ata eva kalau swabhavata evati dineshu lokeshu avibhuyatan anayasenaiva tattad yuga gata maha sandanana sarvam evad phalang dadana sa krityartayati yata eva tayaiva kalu bhagavato visheshatascha santosho bhavati. Chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of God. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. This is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities. Because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, has been praised by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Namashtak. Nikila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala, Duti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta, Ayi Mukta Kulaya Upasamanang, Paritastvam Hari Nama Sangshrayami. O Hari Nam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. O Hari Nam, I take complete shelter of you. Similarly, Srila Sanatana Goswami has praised the chanting of the holy name as follows in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Jayati Jayati Namananda Rupang Murarir Viramita Nijadharma Dhyana Pujari Yatnam Katamapi Sakrid Ata Muktidang Praninam Yat Param Amritam Ekam Jivanam Bhushanam Me. All glories to the all-blissful holy name of Sri Krishna, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation, and worship. When, somehow or other, uttered even once by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, Etan nividyamananam ichyatam akuto bhayam yoginam nirpa nirnitam harer namanu kirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraj says, Ete van eva lokesmin pungsang dharma parang smrta bhakti yogo bhagavati tannama grahanadabhi. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in his Sikshastik, Trinadapi suniche natura iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Regarding the 10 offenses in chanting the holy name, one may refer to the Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 24. After hearing this, Sanatana Goswami was exceedingly astonished. He could now understand, my decision to commit suicide has not been greatly appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami concluded, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows everything, past, present, and future, has forbidden me to commit suicide. He then fell down, touching the lotus feet of the Lord, and spoke to him as follows. My Lord, you are the omniscient, merciful, independent Supreme Lord. Exactly as an instrument of wood, I dance as you make me do so. I am low-born. Indeed, I am the lowest. I am condemned, for I have all the characteristics of a sinful man. If you keep me alive, what will be the profit? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Your body is my property. You have already surrendered unto me. Therefore, you no longer have any claim to your body. Why should you want to destroy another's property? Can't you consider what is right and wrong? Your body is my principal instrument for executing many necessary functions. By your body, I shall carry out many tasks. You shall have to ascertain the basic principles of devotion, of a devotee, of devotional service, love of God, Vaishnava duties, and Vaishnava characteristics. You will also have to explain Krishna's devotional service, establish centers for the cultivation of love for Krishna, excavate lost places of pilgrimage, and teach people how to adopt the renounced order of life. Mathura Vrindavan is my own very dear abode. I want to do many things there to preach Krishna consciousness. Purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accomplish many purposes through the exegetical endeavors of Sri Sanatana Goswami. I'd have to look it up in the dictionary. If you give me a second, I am familiar with this word because my lovely father always tries to preach to me that you cannot take the Bible literally. right? Whereas Prabhupada says, which is my argument, no, when it says that Lord Korma was 800 miles wide, I accept that. His thing, because he's going with the Bible, there was no Adam and Eve, there wasn't this. It's just meant to tell a moral, a lesson. But there was no, say, you know, no snake and no... Now, my response is, okay, maybe for the Bible that's true. But not when I read. When it says Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, that's not just a story. All right? Now, there are passages in the Bible, in the Bhagavatam that are allegorical. Allegorical means a story is told. It didn't really happen, but it's meant to give a moral. So that's called allegory. The discussion of King Puranjana. Narada Muni is preaching to King Prachini Barishat. Instead of telling King Prachini Barishat to his face that you're a rascal, you're this, you're this, he tells him a story of somebody, but it's actually him. All right? But all the king knows, he thinks it's not about me, it's about this character, Puranjan. But Narada is actually describing him. Okay? Yes. That's the story of Puranjan. That never really happened. Narada is just making up that story.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There was no King Puranjan then?
Why? No.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, because he can't go to the king and say, look, you're like this. You know. Yes, but when you preach to somebody, you have to know what level they're on. So, Narada knows how to preach. If Narada knows, if I come straight at him, so better to tell this story. Right? It says right in the Bhagavatam.
It's given in the Bhagavatam.
Wait, you think I'm making it up?
I was kind of surprised, you know? Okay.
There's another example. Okay, another example. Hiranyakashipu is giving the funeral sermon. Okay, when his brother Hiranyaksha died. All right? Yeah. So there's a story within a story. All right? There's a story of Yamaraj, and then Yamaraj tells a story of these two birds, Kalinga birds. Okay?
Oh, so that is
yeah, so there are examples of allegorical stories. Yes, it's not an historical event, but from this episode, you learn something. So, getting back to our original question. So, exegesis means, again, to, you know, read these books very critically. Very, very. So this is through the... So he wants Sanatan Goswami to go through the scriptures very scientifically, very slowly, right? Because he wants Sanatan and Rupa to establish what he's teaching them based on the actual references from the Vedas, like she was saying, the 10 offenses. So I'm pretty sure those 10 offenses is because of the work of the 6 Goswamis. It's most likely Jiva Goswami, most likely. I mean, I don't know for sure. So basically what Prabhupada is saying is he wants Sanatan to like we have that word, scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures from the prayers of the 6 Goswamis, right? Scrutinizing, studying all with the purpose of establishing eternal religious principles. That's what that means. Ah. Yes, the first two lines. That's scrutinizingly going through all the revealed scriptures. You do that when you prepare for your class. Right? You do it, don't you spend a lot of time preparing your class? That's exegesis. That's exegesis. I'll repeat it again. Exegesis. E-X-E-G-I. There it is. We'll read it again. Oh, I spelt it wrong. Exegetical. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accomplish many purposes through the exegetical endeavors of Srila Sanatana Goswami. First, Sanatana Goswami compiled the book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita to teach people how to become devotees, execute devotional service, and attain love of Krishna. Second, he compiled the Haribhakti Vilas, wherein he collected authoritative scriptural injunctions regarding how a Vaishnava should behave. Only by the endeavors of Sri Sanatana Goswami were all the lost holy places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan area excavated. He established Madana Mohan, the first deity in the Vrindavan area, and by his personal behavior, he taught how one should act in the renounced order, completely devoted to the service of the Lord. By his personal example, he taught people how to stay in Vrindavan to execute devotional service. The principal mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to preach Krishna consciousness. Mathura and Vrindavan are the abodes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, these two places are very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to develop their glories through Sanatana Goswami. Are we continuing? 10:21. I can go all day. Okay. That question is answered in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. If you give me a second, I will go there. So this is the Navayogendras, the sons of Rishabdev. They visited one king. Okay? And the king is asking questions. So each question, a different Navayogendra answers. Okay. So this is by Karabhajana. Okay? Because the question was your question. In each of the four yugas, Krita, which is Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali, Lord Keshava appears with various complexions, names, and forms, and is thus worshipped by various processes. In Satya Yuga, the Lord is white and four-armed, has matted locks, and wears a garment of tree bark. He carries a black deerskin, a sacred thread, prayer beads, and the rod and water pot of a brahmachari. Don't make any assumptions. That's... I know. So.
But I know that, you know, white means, you know, Hamsa avatar. That is for Shakti.
Hold on, let's finish what
it is. Okay, let's finish.
Oh, okay, you can speculate to your heart's desire. I go by.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It doesn't specify.
Okay, what else you got?
People in Satya Yuga are peaceful, non-envious, friendly to every creature, and steady in all situations. They worship the Supreme Personality by austere meditation and by internal and external sense control. Now, just pay attention. Wait, don't jump. Okay, don't jump. In Satya Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Hansa, Suparna, Vaikuntha, Dharma, Yogeshwara, Amala, Ishwara, Purusha, Avyakta, and Paramatma. Now, I'm looking at the purport. It doesn't say that it's any particular individual. Okay? These names are simply describing, like in the purport it says, the souls who are situated in the religious system of Varnashram glorify him as the Hansa, who is transcendental to all Varnas and Ashrams. doesn't mean that he's the Hamsa avatar. That would be, okay? That's my point, but you can't necessarily... No, you can't necessarily say that Hamsa is this, because that Hamsa appeared in the form of a swan. Yeah. Does it say he is a swan? No.
Is it a form of Hamsa?
Yeah. I read the 11th canto. The Hamsa avatar is in the form of a swan. That's why it can't be this. That Hamsa avatar is in this Uddhava Gita. Okay? That's why you got to be very careful, because you're going to say something and somebody's going to say, you know, in accounting, we deal with what we know. We don't assume. Okay? So we're just going by what we know. So those are just different names of this. Now, the bodily description was there. Okay? Didn't say anything about a swan body. Now, later... After this, I'll prove to you that that swan avatar had the swan form. All right, now we're going to go to Treta Yuga. In the Treta Yuga, the Lord appears with a red complexion. He has four arms, golden hair, and wears a triple belt representing initiation to each of the three Vedas, embodying the knowledge of worship by sacrificial performance, which is contained in the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas. His symbols are the ladle, spoon, and other implements of sacrifice. No name is given. He's just known as the red incarnation. You're not going to find any... In the Treta Yuga, okay, then it says how the people of Treta Yuga worship the Lord. Again, no specific name is given.
So can I stop you for a second? So then like Lord Nishinadev and Lord Vamana, all
those are Leela avatars.
Okay, they're not Yuga avatars.
Leela.
Okay. So and then this avatar that's being described, there's no...
All you know, he's red. The other one, he wears this and that, but they're not giving a specific, they gave him eight names.
Avatars that we know of, we can't pinpoint a specific avatar for that yuga.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say.
This is all you know. Okay? All you know is what you know. He already described. He's this. And this one, there's not a whole lot. Now, for this one, different names are used. So, he's glorified by the names Vishnu, Yajna, Prishnigarbha, Sarvadeva, Urukrama, Vrishakapi, Jayanta, and Urugaya. But that doesn't mean, oh, that's Vamana. That's a stretch. These are just names. I would be very, you know. Now, it says here in the purport, Prishnigarbha Prishnigarbha refers to the incarnation as the son of Prishni and Prajapati Sutapa. That was the first one that appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki. Okay? And...
We don't know, but that is in Treta Yuga?
Treta Yuga. Now, the deity, the form that appeared to Dhruva was also known as Prishnigarbha. But is that the same Prishnigarbha? I don't know that. I'm very, very careful before I go ... All I know is the incarnation that appeared to Dhruva was Prishnigarbha. Here, Prishnigarbha, now the purport says, son of Prishni and Sutapa. Now we know for a fact that was Vasudeva and Devaki the first time Krishna appeared as their son. That much I know, because that's direct. The other is an indirect reference.
But in Satya Yuga, it says in the Bhagavatam that Lord came as a hari to kill the crocodile.
That was Satya Yuga?
Yeah, it was in Satya Yuga. And when Gajendra, Gajendra Moksha.
Okay. Elephant. You're sure that's Satya Yuga?
Yeah, that's what it says. You know, Bhagwan came as Lord Hari in Satya Yuga to give the deliverance to crocodile. I read that somewhere.
Okay.
You were reading the Gajendra Moksha.
Yes, but so you want to say that that's the Yuga avatar?
No, I didn't say that. There are so many Yuga avatars. In one Yuga, there are
no. No.
No?
No. It's
but
the
given so many names.
Names. That doesn't, you think there's, so eat, there's eight different ones? No. That, no.
Because in Satya Yuga, it lasted so many years.
That doesn't mean that there is eight different ones.
How, let's go on to
I don't know where you can get, on what basis? Just like Lord Chaitanya has. Lord Chaitanya has different names. Doesn't mean there was different Lord Chaitanyas. Krishna had so many names. Doesn't mean that there were different Krishnas.
I agree, but in those days, because of the length of the...
I know, but please forgive me, but you're getting into this speculative ocean. I don't know why you want to go there. Please, I mean, I can't tell you what...
I will check with my Gurudev. I will find out.
Fine.
But that, what is this? But do you have the answer on that question? Right?
I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm reading this. Because this is all we got.
So that you are, as per your, not assumption, but as per your, the way you read it, you perceive that in Satya Yuga, it's only one...
Correct. Same with, we're talking about the Yuga avatar. It's a singular person.
No, Yuga avatar, we know that in Yuga avatar, he came, in Satya Yuga, he came as a white.
Correct.
There's one person they're talking about. They're not talking about multiple.
That's not my understanding because Yuga avatar.
Only one person. He said that white complexion.
Yeah, then in Yuga avatar, I agree. So one person, I agree. But in Yuga avatar, there are several Leela avatars as well.
Yeah,
correct.
Separate from
Yuga yeah, but avatar. Leela avatar is not the Yuga avatar.
Yeah, Yuga avatar, I know that. It's only
okay, Leela avatar. But these eight names were referring to the
Yuga avatar,
who's only one. But he has eight names. Just as Lord Chaitanya has so many names as a householder, so many names as a sannyasi. Okay, now. In Dwarapara Yuga, the Supreme Personality of God appears with a dark blue complexion, wearing yellow garments. The Lord's transcendental body is marked in this incarnation with Sri Vatsa and other distinctive ornaments, and he manifests his personal weapons. Now, here in the purport, and this one I have hard time understanding, okay? The purport to this verse, this is not Prabhupada, okay? The purport. No, this is Canto 11. Okay, here's the purport. Srila Giva Goswami explains that these universal characteristics of the Lord mentioned by the sage Karabhajana are indications of the Krishna avatar. Because Krishna is the source of all incarnations, all of the symptoms of all other incarnations are to be found in his transcendental body. But I don't think he's saying that Krishna is the Yuga avatar. It would make no sense because Krishna came when? At the end, how could he be the Yuga avatar when after he leaves, Kali Yuga starts?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Avatar.
Huh?
He's an avatar. Like, why would you even classify?
No, avatar in the sense of one who descends. In that context.
Oh, okay.
That context. Now.
By the way, you know, somebody asked very recently one question to my Guru Maharaj. Said that, you know, that he finds the difference of the purport of Srila Prabhupada and the purport after 11th canto. So Guru Maharaj says that, yeah, I mean, but once you absorb the purport, and once you relish the purport of Srila Prabhupada, you will automatically relish or think about those purports, even though it is not written by Srila Prabhupada. You will relish that purport. But at the same time, Guru Maharaj mentioned that those purports came from the predecessors.
Acharyas, yes.
So they basically copied from previous acharyas, and he was saying that mainly they copied from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on Bhagavatam.
All right, so.
That makes sense, bro.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, so,
yeah, and then
continuing. We're in Dwapar Yuga now.
Yeah.
So here's the mantra that they chanted. Obeisances to you, O Supreme Lord Vasudev, and to your forms of Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all obeisances unto you. O Lord Narayan Rishi, O Creator of the universe, best of personalities, master of this cosmos, an original form of the universe, all super soul. Now, purport. Are you paying attention?
Yeah.
Purport. Okay? Now, this is new for me. This is new. I'm just reading this for the first time. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that although Lord Krishna appeared at the end of Dwarapa Yuga, great sages chanted this verse from the beginning of that age in expectation of his appearance. So, it seems that way. It seems like that's what they're giving, that that's what it appears. Okay, now he goes to Kali Yuga, and you know who the Kali Yuga avatar is. That's, we know for sure. So now, who are the other three?
No, but hold on. In Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar?
Yes.
Not Kalki?
No. Mm-hmm. No, he's a Leela avatar.
Leela. How do you know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Yuga avatar?
Well, here's the verse.
Krishna
Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hisame. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna.
Okay.
That's not Satya Sai Baba, I can tell you that right now. Okay?
Okay.
So who is that person?
How come there's like a very distinct Kali Yuga that's straight to Mahaprabhu, but the rest of the Yugas we have like this vague description?
Like, I know the answer to that question. Why do you ask these questions to me when you had the person who knows 1,000% more than me living in your house, but you wait for me to come and then you ask? Now, this happens all over. It happens in Santiago. It happens in Panama. Everybody asks me the questions they're afraid to ask their Guru Maharaj, and I'm supposed to know. Oh, we forget. Am I the super soul that I cause everybody to remember?
Prabhu, we are in a great ecstasy that, you know, that questions are, you know.
And then when I come down, there's no more ecstasy than the questions come.
So I think we want you to ask Maharaj, so when we ask you, you have the answer ready for us.
Oh, I see. I'm not, come on. He is, his level of knowledge is like
no,
CPA, and I'm just a bookkeeper.
No.
Come on. Right.
That's why so many things come. Guru Maharaj, he give lecture and we listen. You know, so
whatever concern
he puts you in this state of yoga maya.
Yeah. And then whatever pertaining to that subject matter,
and then
we ask
question
the question.
Another question I have, can I ask you?
You can ask me anything you want.
So Maharaj is saying in this class is that so from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, from his, obviously from his navel, then Lord Brahma appears on the lotus, right? So he said that on the stem of the lotus, and the stem of the lotus is the seven?
All the planets.
All the planets.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so then that's the case. So then that means that on, we're basically resting on the stem right now, like Earth is situated on the stem.
Yeah.
Lotus.
Yes.
That's so cool. I never knew that.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
Yes. But
seven,
so basically, like, if
no, that's
you
a different thing.
If you draw a picture,
that's different.
Seven planetary system.
Yeah, planetary system.
Yeah, but you said seven layers.
Not seven layers. Seven planetary system.
So basically, if you draw a picture, the picture is that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is lying on the Garbhodak ocean, and then you have hell, and then you have Earth, and then you have
no.
Brahmaloka.
Okay, there's seven planets below Earth.
Right.
And Earth is in the middle,
right.
And there are seven planets.
Six planets
above.
Okay.
Earth is the last
six
planet.
Earth
on
is in the middle. Earth is also considered as a
heaven.
Seven, including seven, and then seven.
So my
planets
question
below.
To you is that, so from Garbhodaksha, the first planet is hell?
The first, what do you mean?
Because if you're saying, like, if it goes in consecutive order, so basically hell.
The bottom one.
Yeah, the bottom one.
Yeah, that's what you mean by first, the bottom one.
Yeah, the bottom one.
Yeah.
Okay, and then. The top is heaven, and then is Brahmaloka. That's
Brahma, yeah, Loka. Above heaven are the planets of rishis and sages, and the topmost is Brahmaloka.
And then above Brahmaloka is
Brahmajyoti. Oh, wait. Is it the Brahmajyoti? I think, okay, I have to check. It's either the Brahmajyoti or the causal ocean. Probably it's the causal ocean.
The causal ocean.
Well, first you have the seven layers that are covering the universe.
Okay.
Now you break out of the universe. Now you're in the causal ocean.
Right. Where Mahavishnu is.
Right. And the causal ocean is in between. Then
So you're saying that the where Garbhodakshaya Vishnu resides, that whole area, that's still part of the material world?
Yes.
Oh, it is. And then there's seven coverings, and then Mahavishnu is above that?
Rupa, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters into several innumerable universes.
Right.
That's not what my question is.
Okay. So, here you have one universe. Okay? There's all these universes floating in the causal ocean. All the material universes are in that
causal
ocean.
Right. That's what
so, if you break out, now you're with Mahavishnu.
Right.
Beyond that is the Brahmajyoti, then Vaikuntha, then Goloka Vrindavan.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
Now, I wanted to say. Now.
And then another question that I had was that, what's it called?
That's what Maya Devi told told Haridas Thakur.
If we don't go back to Godhead in this time,
you're not going to get delivered for
4.3
yeah,
millions
of kalpas or days of Brahmas.
Well, so then what happens? We just keep going on and on and on. This
yeah.
Keep
on going into that circle, 8.4 million.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If we don't get to go back to Godhead, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to be stuck in this material planet.
Yeah, but
no. You can by pious activity, you can go to a spiritual sky.
Yeah, you can go to a Vaikuntha.
Not by pious.
No, but the thing is, we don't want to go to
devotional
Vaikuntha.
Service. Not pious.
That's what I'm saying.
Even though pious, if you do some pious work, you can go.
Pious, no. Pious.
Go to heaven.
Yes, not Vaikuntha.
But the thing is, that if we go to Vaikuntha and we want to go to Goloka, we have to come back to material world.
That's
and then go to
okay.
Goloka.
That's how he answers that question. Because he was asked that question at Johnny's house, I remember, several years ago. That's how he understands and explains.
How do you understand and explain?
Okay, let me answer one question at a time.
Okay.
That's, all right? Because now we're getting into really...
Technical.
Well, not technical.
Well, no, I want to know.
Okay, hold on. Can we go back to your original question?
Who, me?
Yeah. So... Listen, there's a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The discussion is the Yuga avatars.
Okay.
In the purport, so this is Prabhupada, not anybody else, this is Prabhupada. Madhyalila chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami. The four Yuga avatars are, number one, Shukla, white.
Does Shukla mean white or Shukla?
Yes,
mean?
Shukla means white. Rukta, red in Treta Yuga. Shyama, dark blue. He doesn't say Krishna. He just says Shyama, dark blue. And, wait, listen. Generally Krishna, but just meaning black. But in special cases, Pita, yellow, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's how Prabhupada puts it in the purport. Now, whether or not that's, we all know Krishna only comes once in a day of Brahma. So this Krishna, black incarnation, is not the original Krishna. Because we all know what you just said, that only once in a day of Brahma that of the original Krishna comes. Now, I'm looking for the quote. Okay. I need the book.
Very good question answer.
Then, no, my other question is that. No, I'm
not. Okay.
Hold on, but let me tell you my other question because I'm on the same train of thought. So if you said that original Krishna only comes in that one.
Once in a day of Brahma.
So what other Krishnas come? Like, what do you mean, like other forms of the Krishna, other avatars?
Forearm forms.
Okay.
Yes.
The only Krishna two-handed flute from Goloka Vrindavan descends.
Once in a day of Brahma. Yes.
So you think that maybe we went through this 4.32 billion years, we went to Vaikuntha, and now this is our run at going back home back to Godhead? And we
Val, you want to speculate?
No, I don't. I'm just saying. Okay, now you can continue with what you're saying.
So, Prabhu, so going back to that question.
Then he's going to find another thing.
Okay, what am I looking for now?
I don't know. I thought you were going to tell us something.
I was looking for something.
Yeah, you know, my guru said, what is your
take? Yeah, what is your take on it?
Oh.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. As far as I'm concerned, there are different, I don't want to use the word interpret, different exegesis. I have found certain quotes that says that you may be in Vaikuntha, but your rasa can change and you can go to Goloka. Your Guru Maharaj says, no, first you have to come down, join Lord Chaitanya's movement, then you can. Now, that's all I can say about this. You want to know my quotes?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think I have it right now in this computer.
This is Guru Maharaj was referring to Prabhu. I will tell you exactly the quote from Chaitanya.
Yes.